By the way, one public service announcement. Based on the emails I've been getting, I think a lot of people think that we started like the Eitz Chaim, but like we're learning Eitz Chaim and we just start the introduction. So I don't want there to be any mekach tois. You know, people should. We're learning the introduction to Eitz Chaim, and that man, that's a shame. But I'm not. I know people from. I got emails of like, you know, what printing the Eitz Chaim should I buy? Like, you know, what hachanis do I have to make?
Those type of emails don't sound so bad.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm giving you a couple of easy examples. Something, yeah. This the original name, the name of the entire set is called Eitz Chaim. That was what Reb Chaim called it. But the actual sefer of like Yesaidus, the Pnimius HaTorah, is called Shaar Hakdamas. The whole thing is Hakdamas. So, gotcha. All right. Anyway, so let's go right. Huh? Eitz Chaim. The Eitz Chaim that we have that you buy in the store in Eitz Chaim. It's of two volumes. It's usually printed in one. In one safer, but it's like if it's technically two volumes, you know.
I'm not there yet. No, I went to a meeting last night, and a guy had it in his office. It was two volumes, and I had charts inside. And
yeah, it's different. That's not. Don't be scared. It's your chaylik. It's just a matter of again. It's like anything else in Torah. You know. I'm saying. A chumash in Hebrew is over the head of a 1 year old, but it's his Torah. It's just a matter of hachanas. All right, so let's learn. So we're up to the bottom paragraph on the second page. Yeah, so again, so Nachmanos, Reb Chaim Vital is telling us again. The Zohar says that it's what pushes away Arish Shel Mashiach, Ruach Shel Mashiach, is learning Torah selfishly. So what does it mean selfishly? So again, so first he says the Pashup Shad. You would think selfish means mamish, like mamish for your ego, for your power, you know, for your popularity. So he says that's obviously a problem. But he says Ha'omnam, but the truth is Aval Pishul L'Chayra Efshul L'Farish. Lashon Hamayim are life in Zeh. Even though it is true, when you first learn the Zohar, you could explain and you could teach. That's all the Zohar is trying to say, to avoid that, not to be completely using the Torah for your own personal benefit in that way. Im kol Zeh, davar kasha ma'id ma'id hu loimer, de b'shuftin yaskinam. It's very difficult to say that's all the Zohar means, because that means the Zohar is really just talking to fools. Like that's the category that the Zohar is trying to. You know, to make us avoid is like that lowest madrega of mamish fools that just learn Torah for their mamish ego. Difficult to say that's the whole. That's what's holding Mashiach back. That those group of fools. Rather, it sounds like the Zohar is talking about to a much larger audience and saying that even to a much larger audience of people that are learning Torah, they also have to avoid this issue of learning selfishly. I'm right derech klolos, and the truth is, it's mashm like that in the language of the Zohar, when because the Zohar makes like general statements, and the Zohar says, for example, va'afilu kol inun de'mishnadli barayis. So the Zohar says in a very general way, all those that are learning Torah, kol chesed avdi lagarmai avdi, all the kindness and all the avodah that they're doing is for themselves. So obviously that doesn't. Now listen, it can't mean literally all, because there's definitely going to be yichidim that are learning Torah lishma. But the fact that it says such a general lashon of all definitely means that he's not just talking about a small group of people that are mamish loy lishma. So there's something more going on over here. The ein loymer demilas kol he aserta mishaveshta. You can't say that word all the people that are learning Torah is like just an extra, you know, maybe a mistake. It's just an extra word. It didn't mean it. Shari Mikru Hudarish, because not only does it say those words, but then the Zohar connects it to a pasuk, which is V'kol Chazda Kitzitz Asada. All of their kindness is like grass of the field. Shaloi Nemar V'Chazda. It doesn't say their kindness, El V'Chol Chazda. So again, so not only does the Zohar say a general sweeping statement that all, and if not, maybe not all, but at least most people that are learning are doing it selfishly. So you could say maybe that's an exaggeration, but it connects it to a pasuk, and the pasuk says v'kol chazdai. So that's the pasuk is not exaggerating. Lirmais, and that's coming to tell you ki kol atamidi chachamim ha'iskim b'toyra hanikris taras chesed. That all time, some would say that all time chacham, again, if not all, maybe a majority, that are learning Torah, which should be called taras chesed aloshayna. So Torah should be called the taras chesed. Heim doimim b'chesed ahu. In that effort of learning taras chesed, they're compared, al tzitz asada, they're compared to animals just grazing on grass, mishum d'lo germayot, because they're doing it for themselves. So again, so indicating that this issue of learning Torah shloi lishma, learning Torah selfishly, is an issue that that is not just like a very, that only very low people have to struggle with. This is an issue that all Yidden have to struggle with in their Avodas Hashem. Avobir lashon haniskar, but so what does it mean exactly to learn Torah for yourself? I mean, again, we're talking about even people that are not falling into that most obvious level of selfishness. So what does it mean to learn? So a guy's learning Torah because there's a chiyuv to learn Torah. He's learning Torah because it's geshmak. He's learning Torah because that's the way that he's doing for the. So he's doing it selfishly. So what does that mean? So he says, "I will be your lashon and iskar." But the explanation of that lashon, yuvan reishisai machrisai. You could understand the opening statement of the Zayar, that we have to avoid learning Torah shlo lishma, from the ending of the Zayar, ba'amrai, which the Zayar then sort of goes back to explain, and it says as follows: v'yir v'yahava al menas lekabel pras, that fear of Hashem and ahavas Hashem, which are unbelievable madrigas, but a person that has yiras Hashem and ahavas Hashem. And it's in order to receive reward, ihi shivcha. That's called a maidservant. The tachas shalosh rugs ha'aretz. And when the princess is exchanged for the maidservant, that's a terrible tragedy. So that's what the Zohar, later on in the piece, sort of references and goes back to this idea of learning Torah selfishly, and it describes it as the result of exchanging the princess with the maidservant. So what does that mean? So what does the maidservant mean and what does the princess mean? So Rechaim Yital brings us to a different Zayar in Parshas Bereishis that gives a better, a more clear translation of what it means, the shivcha in learning, and what it means, the prince of the Bas Melech in learning. So the Zayar says in Parshas Bereishis like this, "Begin da Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu," that Hashem said, Loi toy v'yosei adon levadai. It's not good for man to be alone. Esalei ezer kenegdai. I'll make for him a helpmate, right? Ezer kenegdai. Says the Zayar, da mishna, itzisa. This helpmate, in terms of learning, in terms of Torah, is called mishna. Dahu nar v'yishivcha d'shchinta. So says the Zayar Kaddish that mishna, which means nigla, is also a female. That's the feminine, but l'maisa, it's called the shivcha, the maidservant of the shechina. V'yizochu Yisrael, I eiz l'mbegulusa. And if the Jewish people are worthy, then the shivcha, this maidservant, the mishnah, is a huge asset and a huge help in galus. Misitra deheter, tahar, kosher, clarifies halacha, what's mutter, what's aser, what's tahar, and so on. V'iloi, if, however, we engage with the mishnah in the wrong way, then it could turn into something that's the opposite of help. Misitra detame pasul aser. Right? So now the Zohar Kaddish is playing with the fact that Nigla has this it's clarifying, it's separating what's aser, what's mutter, what's kosher, what's, pasul, and so on. So, B'derech Pnimis, the Zohar Kaddish is saying is that Nigla itself, not only does Nigla acknowledge these two sides of every coin of what's us or what's mutter, but even in the way you engage in nigla, you can engage it in those two sides. You can engage it in a way that it brings you to more tahar, kosher, mutter, and you can engage it in a way that it brings you to more tameh, pasul, aser. Now, that doesn't mean that it's, to be machmer, to be mekel, but it means whether that this chelik of Torah called nigla, it can be used as a way of bringing you to Elikus, to the Shechina, or Chas v'Shalom, it can be used as a way of Chas v'Shalom bringing a person even farther from Elikus and from the Shechina. Now again, as we said in the beginning, every Chelik of Torah can really do that, but certainly Mishnah and Nigla is, again, because it's further, it's one of the further layers, right? So it's more of the outer layers. So because of that, it's easily... You have to put in an effort to direct it properly. Whereas Pnimis HaTorah, again, it could also turn into a corrupted experience, but you already have to work hard to do that. Like in its more natural state, Pnimis HaTorah is more inclined to bringing you to a place of Elikus. Like we mentioned last time, it's more, that's the inner layer of Torah. So again, it's not the soul yet, but the soul is right there. So unless you're actively trying to stop it, you know what I mean? The soul is going to permeate that first layer. But for the soul to permeate the outer layers all the way to Mishnah and Halacha, that's already, you have to want it. And so that's an avoida.
The opposite.
Huh?
I think the world approaches it the opposite way.
In terms of what?
pnimius can lead someone astray to stick their
nigla. So that's the thing. When people say that, it's a throwback to an old issue. Like, it is true that in the earlier generations, so the because that earlier that more inner layer of pnimius haTorah is sensitive, that the neshama is pulsating right next to it. So if you are an extremely sensitive neshama, plus learning the section of Torah which is naturally sensitive to Elikos, if you're not prepared for it, it can cause like a shir sakelim. It can, you know, too much electricity in the light bulb, it can bust. But for many reasons, those concerns are very much less significant nowadays. Again, it still means a person has to prepare themselves properly. We're not going into that right now. Again, this is only the Hakdamah Eitz Chaim. We're not learning Eitz Chaim itself.
My point is that more people forget that Niglas HaTorah can also have a similar cause.
Well, Nick, that's the thing. It's a different type of concern. The concern with Pnimius HaTorah is that you can it becomes overwhelming. The Elikus becomes overwhelming. You don't have the Kalim for it. And think of it like this. It's like by Pnimius HaTorah, the concern is there's so much R, it'll overwhelm the Kalim. The concern by Niglas HaTorah is that the Kalim are very thick and you might have a shortage of R. So what you turn into, what the concern for Nigla is not that you're going to lose your mind because you learn too much Rajvas. The concern is that you can become an egomaniac because you learn too much Rajvas. That's the concern. It's a different type of fear. Whenever there's an imbalance between R and Kalim, it always comes with danger. Too much R, the person can't function because it's like too much. Now, it all boils down to ultimately like yeshus, you know what I mean? Because too much R is an issue because you can't handle it. I mean, because there's a you. It boils down to. But these are two separate types of concerns. But anyway, so that's what the Zohar says in Parshas Bereishis, that this portion of Torah is also described as an Isha, as an Ezer Kenegdai. You have two options. It could either be an Ezer or be Kenegdai. Now again, even the Kenegdai, when Nigla becomes a Kenegdai, it's still learning Torah. You still have to make Berachas HaTorah on it, and it's still giving you a clarity in Halacha. So even on the Kenegdai part, it's still Baruch Hashem Gevaldik, but in terms of the Tachlis, which is Elikus and the Shechin HaKdoisha, Nigla can be either an Ezer or a Kenegdai. So he says like this, Deles Yichuda Ad Erav Yismachin Min Alma. And ultimately, there's no yichud. You know, this kenegdai element of Torah is always going to be there until the Erev Rav is removed from the world. That's what we're going to see a little bit later on, that he identifies this inyan of engaging with Torah shaloi lishma, which again, on a more subtle level, means not for the sake of Elikus, not for the sake of the Shechina, not for the sake of Knesset Yisrael, everything we've been talking about, that's an Erev Rav Klipa. It's a Klipa from the Erev Rav. It's a very subtle one. It's very subtle. But as long as the Erev Rav is still around, as long as that Klipa is still there, then one has to engage with Torah, and particularly Nigla, with that realization that unless I direct it towards Elikus, it might not necessarily just naturally bring me there. Again, with Pnimius HaTorah, you would have to, again, it's more naturally inclined to bring it to Elikos. You still have to want it and you still have to be looking for it, but by Pnimius HaTorah it's more don't get in the way. By Niglas HaTorah you have to drive it, you have to direct it there.
The subject matter is Elikos,
but you still have to be willing to allow it to become part of you, because even when you're thinking about something, again, it is, that's why I said don't get in the way. You know, as long as a person approaches it with a desire to be changed by it, then that's good. But you don't. It's just a less. I don't know how to describe it. But you need to direct it less, because again, the subject matter is Elikus, and on a deeper level, because it's that innermost dimension of Torah which is right next to the soul. Again, it's still not the soul. That's the idea. It's still not the soul. You know, but it's at least very close. Who begin da? So this is all a quote from the Zohar. Who begin da? Because of this, iskaver Moshe labar Mara Kaddish. It's amazing zach. Because of this, Moshe is buried outside of Eretz Yisrael. What is he talking about? Ukvurasa delay. Where is Moshe buried? Moshe is buried. We don't know. But it says the Zohar, you know, Moshe is buried. E Mishnah. Moshe is buried in Mishnayis. The Shult Amatrinisa. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the captain of the ship. He's driving the ship, making sure that even Niglas HaTorah is brought to Elikus. See, that's the thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is not what chelik of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is not any chelik of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is the neshama. Moshe Rabbeinu is the light. Is the soul itself. Is the Shechina. The Zohar Kodesh describes the Shechina as Kalas Moshe. The Kal of Moshe Rabbeinu is the Shechina. So, the part of where Moshe Rabbeinu is needed most, he's needed most in Nigla, because Nigla is less inclined to naturally go to the Shechina, because it could easily be drawn to Aser Tame Puzzle, you know. So Dafka there is when you need Moshe Rabbeinu to be steering the ship, to you know, to counterbalance the natural drive the other way. So he says, "Ukvuras a delay the Mishnah, the burial spot of Moshe Rabbeinu is Mishnah, the Shalta Matronisa, that again the Shivcha that could be naturally inclined to be superior over the actual princess, the Kabbalah Moshe, which is what we'll see soon is more Kabbalah, Umalka Matronisa Mispar Shmi Baila." And so this, again, going back, so when Chas V'Shalom it becomes Kinegdoi, when Niglas HaTorah is disconnected from Elikos and so on, then Chas V'Shalom, then there's a separation between the Chasan and the Kala, because the Shivcha gets in the way. And those are what the Pasuk says, causes a great disturbance. Tachas Eved Kimlech, like a servant that rules instead of the king. Da'av Da'idiyah, V'Shivcha Da'Mishnah, the novel Kiyispa Lechem Da'ir Vravka, the Zohar continues on. Okay, so let's just finish up, and we'll stop with this. Vine Mavur, so it comes out. What is the Zohar is telling us? Kitar Seinu HaKadosha Klula V'nim Seis B'kol Arba Oilemis Atzilus Bri Yitzir Asiya. Now again, we're not Eitz Chaim, but at least it is the introduction to Eitz Chaim. So, yeah. So the Zohar Chavital says that what the Zohar Kodesh is referencing is an idea that we mentioned before, which is that the Torah corresponds to all levels of reality, and there are four dimensions that the Rabbanu Shem created. Everything exists on four levels. Atzilus, that's the most inner dimension in which the God Himself is like pulsating in there. And then you have Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. Those four levels correspond to the four Chalakim of Torah, of Said, Drush, Remez, and Pshat. So he says, Ubiyaisa Ba'ilam Atzilus, when Torah is still in its in the dimension of Atzilus Aznikas Kabbalah, that's called Kabbalah. Kisham hi mufshetes mikol levushim. In that state, in that dimension, then Torah is removed. The Torah is stripped away from its like physical layers, right? Hanikras pshat, which is called the clothing, would be the ultimate clothing, like the most outer layer. That's called pshat. Milashin pshatati eskutanti. Even the word pshat indicates like what needs to be done, which is to take off those clothing, right? So to be poshet means to disrobe. Shubachinas hamal b'shachitzayin, which is the outermost clothing. Shulgabi ar adam, which is on the skin. Hamispash melavam, which sometimes you take off, sometimes you put on, obviously. Zeikar havanas meals pshat. That's a simple word. That's a simple title of the word pshat. I guess we'll stop with here. But again, this is what the Rizal is talking about. Now, by the way, based on this model, I'll just say with this. This might not maybe next time again we'll explain a little bit more, but. Again, what I've been saying until now is you have these four levels of Torah, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sayyid, corresponding to, let's say, four layers of a person, right? Or Basar, Gidim, and Atzamis. But even the Atzamis, even the deepest layer, which corresponds to Sayyid, is still not the soul itself. It's more inclined to the soul. It's vibrating with the soul. It's like you have to get in the way for it not to bring you to the soul. But why is it not the soul itself? Now, the Rechaim Vital is then taking that four and corresponding it to the four worlds of Atzilus, Bri, Yitzir, Nasiyah. Which therefore means that Atzilus corresponds to Said. And like I said before, it's still not the soul, but it's pulsating with the soul. So what is the soul then? What right? So there's a term in the Mekubal, and that's what we're gonna see in the Kisyari at some point. But it's called Adam Kadmain. Maybe some of you have seen such a lashon. Adam Kadmain is the revelation of godliness. It's like Bechinas Ein Sof. It's like before creation. It's like a little bit of a glimpse of before creation. That's the kiviyachol, the soul of Torah, so to speak. That's behind even the bones. This is what you'll find a huge chit in it, what's. Torah, Pnimis HaTorah reveals itself and becomes unpackaged as generations go on. And the Kisveri itself, and you just learn Kisveri, so obviously he talks about that universe that's before Atzilus, certainly. But Avodas Hashem, when the Arizal revealed Kavanis and so on, it's really from like Atzilus and on. The Chiddush of the Rashash, and this is the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov, and this is what it means to Tor Lishma, is to integrate that earlier universe of Adam Kadmai, that which corresponds to the soul itself, to integrate that into Atzilus. And then from there, moving forward into Bri, Yetzir, Asiya. So now you have the four universes flowing with the energy of what comes before the four universes. Built into every Kavanah, again, we're not, just Tarzan, we're learning the introduction today, it's Chaim, but you should just know that, that's one of the main Chiddushim of the Rashash, is that in the Kavanahs, the Arizal revealed that when a person has Kavanahs, you're trying to develop an infrastructure. And the infrastructure that you're building, you know, within the neshama and within the world, corresponds to Hashem's names. And so the names of Hashem that the Arizal introduces us to in the Kavanis are names of Hashem that sort of are like from Atzilus. The Rashash is again, it's all hinted to in the Arizal, but the Rashash really brings this out in full force, that a deeper kavana that you have to then incorporate into the Shemus HaKadoshim that the Arizal revealed, which is in Atzilus, you have to incorporate deeper Shemus HaKadoshim that's coming from before Atzilus, flowing the soul into the bones, sinews, bus, you know, flesh and skin. You have to make that connection deeper. The oimik of that is learning Torah Lishma for the sake of the Shechina. You understand? Where it's not learning just Kabbalah, but it's learning, it's allowing the light of God Himself to pulsate through the Torah, and that results in a yid that's learning Torah for the sake of the Shechina, which we'll speak about as the piece goes on. But the fact that this is the introduction to Eitz Chaim is a little bit foreshadowing, like the Rashash. It's foreshadowing the Baal Shem Tov, which is like Chaim Vital is telling you, it's like you're going to be learning Eitz Chaim, and all you're going to hear about is Atzilus. But I'm telling you that, yeah, there's something before that, and that's not the Tachlis, and you have to allow the light of before Atzilus to pulsate within Torah. And when that happens, that results in the person becoming drawn to learning Torah, not just to get knowledge, even the most spiritual knowledge of Kabbalah. But when you... I'm going to say this again, just one line, and then we'll just end with this, because I don't want to get caught up. But when a person connects not to the layers of Torah, but allows God Himself into those layers, then something switches in the brain. What switches in the brain is that you then become motivated by not receiving from Hashem, but you become motivated to do what God wants, which is what? Which is to make a dir b'tachtoina, to be brought down here, and to uplift the Jewish people. When you connect to God Himself, which comes before even Kabbalah, then your head, then you like move in the right, the same direction as Hashem. As opposed, until you get to that innermost layer of even before the bones, the soul itself, then you're facing Hashem. You're going towards Him, and that's the direction that you're headed towards. As long as you're going towards Hashem, to a certain degree, it's selfish. To a certain degree, it's selfish. But it's like when you get to God Himself, then all of a sudden, you begin to turn around and say, Rabbana Shalom, I'm not interested in what I get from you. I'm interested in accomplishing the mission that you want me to accomplish. I want to make you happy. What makes Hashem happy? Going down to planet Earth and picking up the Shechina. That's what makes Hashem happy. So it's dafka when you get to the deepest, most, not even layer of Torah, when you allow the light of God Himself, which is before Atzilus, like God Himself, into Torah itself, then there's a transformation in you, which is that I begin to shift from thinking about what I get from Hashem to thinking about what I can do for Hashem. And the ultimate thing I can do for Hashem, the ultimate thing He wants, is not for me to go to heaven. He's already in heaven. What He wants is the Shechina, which is down here, to be uplifted. And so this is the oimik of why, when a person connects to the deepest light of God, of the neshama itself of Torah, like God Himself, and you allow that to transform the experience of Torah, which again, as we've been saying, the innermost layer of Kabbalah is the most sensitive to it. But ultimately, it's not about the Kabbalah. It's about allowing the light of God himself in. When you allow that to happen, then you become transformed into a person that is, instead of moving towards Hashem, you're moving with Hashem down. You know what I'm saying? Like, trying to accomplish what God wants. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain. You understand? So then you become your greatest mission in life and your greatest accomplishment in life is not about what you get from Hashem, but it's about partnering with Hashem to do what He wants, which is to pick the Shekhinah up. So it's a shift. It's a shift. And that's the ultimate. That's the oimek of what it means. The bottom is connected to the highest. Like when you get to the highest madrega of all, which is God Himself, then you become interested in what God is interested in. And what is God interested in? The bottom. That's what He's interested in. So then all of a sudden, your entire motivation of Torah becomes not for you. It becomes what God wants. This is the oimek of what it means that when the Zohar says that everyone is learning Torah, again, not everyone, but the majority of people are doing it selfishly. So the Rechaim Vital is saying, what, selfishly? They're doing it in order to become famous. That's most people? No, it's not most people. But most people are when they're learning Torah, even if they're thinking about how they can get closer to Hashem through that experience, that's still selfish. Because God didn't create the world. That's what God's interested in, that you should just be drawn to Him. The Rabbanu Shlomo wants the Shekhinah to be picked up. So you have to... We spoke about this once. I mentioned, I can't remember from the Medrash of the Zarka, I can't remember, that Hashem, like, it was from the Baal Tanya. Baal Tanya said a lashon that it says in Shir Shirim, like, the I'm sorry, it's late. The Shir Shirim says a lashon that the Jewish people say to Hashem of, like, you know, we're mamish, like, we're drunken with love towards you, want to come to you. And what's Hashem's response? Hashem's response is, hey, Sivi inayich mi negdi, stop looking at me. Look at what I'm looking at. Like, if you really love me, then you're going to partner with me in my avoda. What's my avoda? My avoda is not to sit here and you come to me. My avoda is to go down and pick up the lowest things. So that's what you have to do if you really love me. So that's the connection to Likus.
Also selfishness?
Huh?
Avas Sotera is also selfishness?
It depends why you... Again, that's the point. What does it mean? Avas Sotera for what? If you person loves Torah because this is the way in which you can pick up the Jewish people and you can pick up the Shekhinah, then that's the greatest level of the Shema. But if a person is loving Torah because it brings you closer to Hashem, it's better than like mamish selfish, but that's still not Lishma. That's still not Lishma. Okay? When a person is connected and is going the same direction as Hashem is, you'll be happy. So this doesn't take away from personal satisfaction and happiness. But the ultimate motivation is because I want to get the job done, which is what Hashem wants. And that job is to pick up the Shekhinah.
Is this for everybody?
Yeah, everything's for everybody.
How do we understand?